Hello and welcome to Trail Mix by Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast. I'm Mike.
And I'm Dusty. If you're joining us for the first time, Trail Mix is the short format episodes of our show, while our long format episodes explore one hiking trail and one national park, one park at a time. Trail Mix allows us to dive deeper into the things we didn't get to cover in our long format episodes, including interviews, history, science, and environmental justice.
But Trail Mix also allows us an opportunity to chat about traveling and talk about the things we're excited about when it comes to hiking, camping, and being outdoors. This episode is all about winter in the national parks.
It sounds as though it could be a Hallmark Christmas movie come to life. High-powered New York financier Robin Banks had everything he could ever wish for. The job, the cash, the penthouse apartment. But when a trip home for Christmas leaves him stranded, running his family's souvenir shop in the Yosemite Valley, who could predict that the one thing he didn't have yet? Love. A long-term relationship would drop into his lap like freshly fallen snow.
All right, kidding aside, and potential IP aside, you heard it here first. What parks have we experienced in the winter?
Oh my God. Okay. Listen, winter parks are fun. The first one that comes to mind is Rocky Mountain National Park.
But it wasn't even winter then.
It was still winter there. There was snow everywhere. It was a winter wonderland. It was winter.
It was spring technically, but yes.
But it was still very much winter. Yes, we have experienced those parks in winter. And sure. Then New River Gorge we experienced in the winter, technically.
Technically.
It was chilly. And then there was a very cold day in Shenandoah, but it still wasn't technically winter.
So, I think Shenandoah is the park we've experienced all four seasons in. The only park that we only have hit all four, which it's our closest, so that makes
sense.
Shout
out to our friend Brian, who had an extra pair of gloves, because that was a miserable experience for
me. It sure was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But as far as like being in parks during deep winter, like we've not done any of that.
Where have we experienced snow, though? What parks have we experienced snow in?
Oh, God, plenty. Yeah. I mean, Mount Rainier, for sure. There's snow there all year long, basically. Yeah. Yeah. Glacier. Mm-hmm. There was some snow in Glacier. Definitely Rocky Mountain.
Well, we had snow on Sahe Pass.
We did.
We were also on, like, literal glacier.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. Rocky Mountain, for sure, especially on the one side, on the Grand Lake side.
Yep.
Where else?
But there was snow in Estes Park, too, when we were there, when we were headed up Deer Mountain. Mm-hmm. We also have gotten some in Kings Canyon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did.
And then also Yosemite and North Cascades.
That's
we had a little bit of snow.
And don't forget Olympic.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Because when we did Mount Eleanor.
Oh, yeah. I did forget about her.
In the height of winter on Mount Eleanor.
You mean height of summer?
That's what I meant to say. Height of summer.
Mm-hmm. And so how has that been different from what we would imagine the parks being like in the winter? Like, how is our experience with snow? Because we're experiencing snow on the low end in those parks.
We are, yeah. I mean, that's like, got to be a lot. I know that Glacier
you're not getting up there.
So covered that like people do cross-country skiing, like Becky does cross-country skiing in Glacier,
and I'm like, I think
woof, you know what I mean, like, or she did
snow drought this year out west for sure. All right, in this Trail Mix we'll chat about what parks would be lovely to see in winter, what you need to know before you go to any of these spaces, how to prepare to hike safely in the winter, what kind of gear you might need, and what parks you might visit in the winter if you want anything but a winter feel. If we were to think about the top 12 most visited national park spaces in the winter months, as listed by the National Park Conservation Association, which sites do you think might be there? Now, remember, this is the entirety of the 433 units of the national park system, and I will give you two hints. There are only three of the big 63 national parks on this list, and a lot of these spaces are typically in the top 10-ish when it comes to the most visited of the year. So
okay,
you want to take some guesses?
Okay, yeah. Great. Most visited park spaces. I mean, I'm still going to say Smokies as one of them for the winter. Yosemite.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm just accepting your guesses. I'm not giving you anything yet.
Okay. I'm going to also say Ellis Island and Liberty Island. Those might be, I would say Acadia.
Okay.
Maybe. Though I don't know that Acadia is in the top 10. Other...
Think about very visited spaces, no matter the time of year.
Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Zion.
These are all good guesses. All great guesses.
Joshua Tree. I'm trying to think of non-park, non-big park spaces.
Mm-hmm. Well, would you like to know?
I'm going to add a couple more guesses, and then I will pass it to you.
Okay.
I'm going to add Blue Ridge Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to add, isn't the Appalachian Trail? That's not national park space. Some of it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to add that. That's what I'll add.
Okay. So of the top, we'll say 12 most visited, you had a few. Okay. So Grand Canyon is one of the park spaces. The other two park spaces are Great Smoky Mountains, which you also said.
Look at
and
that.
Joshua Tree National Park. So you got two of the big park spaces. Here are some of the ones.
I got all three of those. I
did you say
three.
Joshua Tree?
I did.
Oh, I missed it mm-hmm. then. I was in my own little world.
That's okay.
The other spaces, which I, you know, found to be interesting. So number 12 is the San Francisco Maritime National Historic Park.
Okay, yeah.
Then Joshua Tree at 11. Then Grand Canyon at 10. Mm-hmm. Then you have Gulf Islands National Seashore, which is Florida and Mississippi.
Oh, yeah.
At 9.
Okay, of course. I forget about that.
Then you have the George Washington Memorial Parkway in Maryland, D.C. and Virginia. That's okay. 8. The Lincoln Memorial.
Oh,
is 7.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Gateway National Recreation Area.
Oh, woo-woo! Right here.
Is 6. Mm-hmm. Great Smokies is 5. The Natchez Trace Parkway in Alabama, Mississippi,
Trace.
And Tennessee. Yep. Blue Ridge Parkway.
I said
of
that.
Of course. Yep. Lake Mead National Recreation Area.
Yeah.
And number 1 is the Golden Gate National Recreation Area. So you did pretty well. So some things stand out to me on that list. At least for 3 of these destinations. About half of the list has recreation areas and parks that function around water and shorelines, and by no means in any sort of tropical location, which I found to be interesting.
Yeah.
Had Lake Mead, you've got Gateway National Recreation Area, there's the Gulf Islands National Seashore, the San Francisco Maritime National Historic Park. Like, that's a lot to be around water and not be tropical locations. There are 3 California destinations. 2 are right in San Francisco. There are 2 DC-based destinations. There are 2 destinations that really feed into each other. So we've got Great Smoky Mountains and then the Blue Ridge Parkway.
The Blue Ridge, yeah.
So it's interesting that
there's
a lot of like correlation here on the list. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think that I would have thought there would be more warm weather destinations on the list, but, you know, there are literally none. None of those are warm weather, mm-mm. except maybe the Gulf Shore area.
Maybe, yeah.
Maybe, depending on when you're there.
Not right now.
Cold winter. Summer in the South. But no, nothing tropical, which, you know, St. John is a national park,
yep.
but I guess it's not, I mean, it's not considered it never makes any of the top 10 most visited lists. Because, it takes a while to get there.
Yeah, so you're right in regards to the Big 63. There are several locations I thought that might be higher on the list. And I think that speaks to the remote nature of a lot of these winter warm parks. So if you're thinking about tropical parks that we have, you've got Hawaii Volcanoes, Haleakala National Park, and 7 other NPS sites that are on the islands of Hawaii.
Yeah.
You have American Samoa, which has its rainy season from October to May. You've got Virgin Islands National Park, along with the adjacent NPS sites in the Virgin Islands and on Puerto Rico. You have the parks in Florida, Biscayne, Dry Tortugas, the Everglades, along with 8 other sites in Florida. And then there are spaces close to the southern border like Big Bend, Saguaro, and Death Valley National Park, along with a smattering of other NPS sites as well.
The easiest to visit within the states without too much of a drive from a major airport would include the parks in Florida and Saguaro as it straddles the major city, Tucson. It's interesting that these warmer and certainly drier destinations don't get as much play in winter, especially Florida, where the bird migration through the Everglades in February is supposed to be chef's kiss wonderful.
I know. I wish we had more of an opportunity to escape at that time of year. And maybe that's it. It is when most people find themselves taking time off. These parks, though popular and warm weather destinations, just aren't seeing a heap of tourism at this time of year because most people aren't traveling then.
Reflexively, it isn't a surprise to me that a park like Great Smokies and Blue Ridge Parkway are on the list, as they are always high rollers as far as totals go. And they are also located in pretty densely populated areas. Same for San Francisco, listed on the list, as well as those in D.C. They are in large central metropolitan areas that see a lot of foot traffic and travelers anyway.
Okay, so let's chat about 10 of the parks in the Big 63 that have been lauded as great destinations for winter travel to experience winter weather. They include Acadia National Park, Glacier National Park, Yellowstone National Park, Grand Teton National Park, Yosemite National Park, Olympic National Park, Death Valley National Park, Rocky Mountain National Park, Arches, and Grand Canyon. And we have been to a lot of these parks, but never in the winter.
Okay, so let's first talk about Acadia. Mm-hmm. We would love to go here in the winter very badly. It mm-hmm. would look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And aside from the Smokies and Shenandoah, it is one of the closest to us that are on this list. So while most of the park facilities and park roads are closed, the carriage roads, a totally separate system of roadway within the park, is open for cross-country skiing and snowboarding. Also, let's chat about New England snowy winters and some country inns in the surrounding gateway communities. This is a huge yes for us. The one drawback of this is that because Acadia is so far up north, it is much darker earlier and for a long stretch of winter. So going would mean a lot of careful planning and essentially potentially getting yourself into the park from Bar Harbor without a car.
Which is doable.
It's doable. It's doable.
Yeah. The next up, Glacier National Park, one of our favorites, is also one that has a limited amount of services in the wintertime. The park, whose snowfall can range at times, especially in the last 2 decades or so, does make an excellent destination for cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. Having friends of the pod that live right outside the park, we often hear about their winter exploits, including the fact that around 12 miles of going to the Sun Road is plowed. In the later winter and early spring, as the plows start to work their way up the road more, the closed section of the road becomes a mountain biker's paradise. But hot damn, what an incline.
Yellowstone and Grand Teton offer some great winter travel, but Yellowstone definitely has more access and more attractions to see in the winter. The roads in Grand Tetons are mostly closed, so snowshoeing or cross-country skiing are where it's at, but Yellowstone has roadways open to Mammoth Hot Springs. There is more of an opportunity here to see animals and geysers without the crush of the crowds during the rest of the year. Along with snowshoeing and cross-country skiing, you can also book snowmobile and snow coach tours, which feel like a passenger van on monster truck tires, to see more of an expanse of the park than possible off the plowed roads. Hey, do you think that they turn off Old Faithful during the winter?
I think they do.
Yeah.
They got to save on water.
Yeah.
They don't want the pipes to freeze.
Right.
Yosemite is another lovely destination to be able to experience, especially when it's not as crowded, because this is a low season for travelers. While roads that access Wawona and Yosemite Valley are plowed to provide access to the park, the rest of the park is less accessible, except for the Badger Pass ski area, which is accessible from the Badger Pass / Glacier Point Road. This is an incredibly popular area for skiing, tubing, and lots of other winter sports. But winter here offers frozen magic that the majority of people who visit this beloved gem of the park systems do not often see.
Olympic National Park has a little more access than some of these other parks do in the winter, as the low coastal areas remain mostly snow-free, while the most mountainous regions find themselves deeply buried. While you can access Hurricane Ridge on the weekends, you must do so with chains on your tires. If you are looking for an escape from the winter for a minute and a dose of all the green you can hope to ever see, the road to Ho Rainforest is open and allows the temperate escape you might be dreaming of.
Death Valley is the perfect desert escape in the winter. While others could argue Joshua Tree when it comes to California desert escapes, Death Valley provides a window into a landscape that is often way too hot to experience. Take it from us when the weather there was 100 plus degrees in mid-April when we visited this last year. If you've been listening to our suite of episodes in the season about Death Valley, you can imagine how magical it would be to explore Badwater Basin during the day, to gaze at the winter stars from Dante's View, or to explore Mosaic Canyon and not be baked by heat. This would be lovely.
Yes, mm-hmm. And Death Valley, largest national park in the lower 48.
That's right.
Having experienced what felt like winter in the Grand Lake section of Rocky Mountain National Park, we already wholeheartedly endorse some winter fun in Rocky Mountain National Park. Just like the other mountainous parks on this list, the winters definitely cut off road access in a lot of the park. But like a lot of other parks, there is plenty to do if you want to work up an appetite and see the sights. Like us, who went snowshoeing, we went snowshoe hiking, everybody, and essentially put ourselves into an extreme calorie deficit because we didn't know how many calories snowshoeing burns. Hint, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. It's like triple that of walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of beauty to see here in the winter. And like, also, it would have been like a sight to see us trying to go upstairs after snowshoe hiking.
Yeah. Talk about hamstrings, quads, and glutes.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Like the other popular parks, especially one that typically has timed entry, Arches is a gem no matter the season. Well, maybe not the melt your face off heat of the summer, unless you're a very early riser or are okay with going into the park on the later end of things. The dull winter light, the red rocks, and the possibility of snow contrasting all of it is a sightseer's and photographer's must. Be sure to plan ahead, as snow could impede some of your journey, so don't be disappointed if you are only seeing the park from the car. It is a very doable way to do it.
And last but certainly not least, Grand Canyon National Park is another park that might be best experienced in the winter, as the lower crowds allow for a calmer viewing experience and the cooler temps allow you a better potential to hike down to the Colorado River and camp at Phantom Ranch in temperatures that will be mild and not heatstroke inducing. While the North Rim is closed in the winter for a good part of the year due to snow, the South Rim is a great way to experience much of what the canyon has to offer. Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails! Okay. So now you're set. So many park choices for the winter that don't involve tropical destinations. That is, if that's what you're into. Once you decide to hit the park or the trails for some winter adventuring, it is important that you are prepared, though. Just like any other time of year, planning is important when it comes to a national park trip.
Do some planning by checking the park website, check trail conditions, build an itinerary with an extra day considering the early setting of the sun, look into the gateway communities around the park to know what is available to you, share your itinerary with someone, and know your limits. While we would all like to escape sometimes, it is important that even if you are heading out to get away from everyone, that someone knows where you are going and what your plans are. Taking the time to do some thorough research allows you to know what conditions you might be facing and also helps you to avoid disappointment when you arrive. It also might allow you to dig in and investigate trying something new, like snowshoeing.
Pack appropriately. Make sure you have plenty of layers and winter weather gear, as weather, like any time of the year, can be somewhat unpredictable, or at least outside of the realm of what we thought possible. Not only do you need plenty of layers and waterproof material, you also need the proper gear like traction devices, micro spikes and poles with baskets on them, headlamps, fire starter, a multi-tool, and some navigation device other than your phone. A physical copy of the park map is never a bad idea, and don't you ever forget your first aid kit.
If you are on a longer expedition or day hike, having more than enough food and water are critical. You burn a lot of calories in winter hiking, snowshoeing, or cross-country skiing, and despite the warmth your warm weather gear is providing you, it is also causing your body to heat up and lose moisture through sweat. It is so important that you properly hydrate, bring electrolytes, and have a mix of food and salty snacks to keep you going.
And lastly, whatever you do, stay safe out there. Stay on the marked trails, even if something else looks fun or wonderful, unless you're with an experienced guide and or in an area where wandering will not impact the landscape you are in, you should never wander off trail. Know the sunrise and sunset times and get out there early. Be careful of hazards on the trail that could potentially end your trip early, and never, ever approach wildlife or touch wildlife. Like, hello?
Robin Banks looked over the counter of his parents' quaint Yosemite Valley souvenir shop to see a handsome gentleman about his age and build. Well, a little shorter, which would later become a playful taunt, holding a snow globe with half dome inside. The man took the snow globe and shook it up as though he was trying to rearrange the atoms inside the globe themselves, and then held it up to his face, gazing at the maelstrom he had produced, a wide and toothy grin developing across his face. "You know," Robin said, working up the courage as he went along, "we have a bunch of those in larger sizes here at the counter, if you're interested." The man turned, Robin getting a better view of his whole person as he stepped closer to the counter, placing both his hands firmly on the edge, looking around with wonder at all the other bric-a-brac at the till. "I just love snow globes. Well, I love anything that is a hokey sort of souvenir, but I like snow globes the best. They remind me that even if life is chaotic, I ultimately have a little bit of control of how chaotic it is." Robin, taken aback, but more taken with each moment, retorted, "That's awfully wise, mister." The stranger, no longer, extended his hand for a firm and warm handshake. "My name is Dusty, Dusty Trails."
The sources for today's episode are America's 20 Prettiest Parks in the Winter by Mason Cummings from wilderness.org.
The article Winter in the National Parks, published by Moon Travel Guides.
The article 5 Tips for Visiting National Parks in the Winter by Katie Uecker, published by the National Parks Conservation Association.
And the article The 12 Most Visited Winter Parks from the National Parks Conservation Association. And now let's end this trail mix with a game.
Okay, so this game is called Frosty the Blank Man because I also
does
like,
it rhyme with snow or no?
No, no. I'll explain. I also feel like Frosty the Snowman doesn't have to be a Christmas song. I think it's a catch-all
winter
song.
No, it's a winter song.
Yeah, it is
there's
a winter
really
song.
Nothing about it. I mean, there's a lot of holiday songs or things that are deemed Christmas songs that are really just winter songs.
Yep.
Like, so, Sleigh Ride, Winter Wonderland. It's all just about snow.
Yeah. And so in this game, you will need to tell me what Frosty is made of. It's going to be some other white object. So I'm going to give you a clue, and you'll have to just answer with Frosty the Blank Man.
Like, okay,
you'll
have to fill in the blank. So
all right. Ready? All right. For 100, and there's 7 of them. Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made of these white, fluffy, spherical shaped objects used for medical care and makeup application and removal.
What is Frosty the Cotton Ball Man?
That's correct. For 200, Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made of this sandwich spread, which is often paired with peanut butter.
What is Frosty the cream cheese man?
No.
What white substance are we pairing with peanut butter?
What is Frosty the Fluffernutter Man?
Fluff. Like marshmallow fluff.
Yeah, marshmallow fluff.
Oh, okay,
fluff.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
That is not that often. People aren't doing that all the time. It's on special occasion, but okay.
It's on my birthday and Christmas day.
I was like, what? I was like, it's not mayo, and I refuse to say that, even though that's your dream.
That would be
you
gross.
You would eat a peanut butter mayo.
Peanut butter
you
mayo.
You would eat it.
I would.
You would happily eat it.
And I'd put goldfish crackers on top of it, too.
And pickles.
Yep. Oh, my God. But am I pregnant? Yes. All right, for 300. Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made of these tiny, expensive jewelry items which are formed under the sea when bivalves are irritated by sand.
What are diamonds? I'm kidding. I'm joking. What are pearls?
So he's who?
Frosty the Pearl Man.
That's right. For 400. I lied. I think there's 6 of them. Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made from the inside of this hard-shelled tropical fruit.
What is Frosty the Coconut Man?
That's right. For 500, Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made from the petals of this flower, which one might have a pocket full of in a nursery rhyme.
What is Frosty the Posies Man?
Oh, I thought it was daisies. I screwed that up. It's daisies.
Just like, are posies white? I don't even know what they look like.
Well,
they could be. Wait, are they? We need to find this out. Are posies white?
Are posies white? Mm. They might be.
Ring around the Raisy, pocket full of daisies.
What is a posy, girl? Flower. No. Oh, yeah, they are white. Look at that.
Well, look at that. You're right.
I was right.
Ta-da.
I just Ta-da. Wanted it to be daisies.
There All you right. go. And if you wanted it to be daisies, mm-hmm. you could have written this clue, which is frosty, but it is, according to Meg Ryan's character, Kathleen Kelly, mm-hmm. and You've Got Mail, they are the friendliest flower, mm-hmm. which is...
A daisy.
Correct.
Great. And lastly... Frosty, but instead of snow, he was made of these two animals common in magician's tricks.
Oh, what are Frosty, the rabbits, and doves, man?
That's right. Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.